This is Chaz Bond, vocalist of Letters to the Blind.
And this is Blaine Gordon, guitarist of Letters to the Blind.
And you are listening to the Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream, whether it be rock, hard rock, metal, speed metal, melodic rock. We got it all, and today is no different, because I have on the line two very special guests, hybrid vocalist Mr. Chaz Bond and smoking guitarist Blaine Gordon of the metal band Letters to the Blind. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I got to say, Chaz, Blaine, this is an honor for me to have you guys on the show. Here we are, 2015, in February, and this is Power Rock Podcast's first metal show of the year. And I am absolutely pumped and honored to have you guys rock out with me.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, thank you. An equal honor for sure. Absolutely. It's an honor to be on the show.
I appreciate that. Well, why don't we go ahead and let's just start from the beginning. I mean, there's some history here. Why don't we start with you, Chaz, and why don't you lay the foundation and let the listeners know about Letters to the Blind and how it got started, and then just rock out, man.
Well, that actually goes way back. For people who might remember my old band, Biogenesis, Blaine was actually a member of that band for about a year back in, I would say, 2004. And he was about 15 years old at the time and looked it as well. And we were worried about being able to play in some of the nightclubs at the time. But anyways, we also tried out our drummer, CJ Jones, at the time, who was even younger. And we were amazed by his talent at that time. And he was only about, I want to say, 13?
Yeah, 13.
And he looked more like he was 9. So that's no cut down on him. We, you know, we crack on him all the time about that. But he looks great now. But anyway, so it's kind of ironic how that connection was there years earlier. Fast forward to 2011, Blaine and I hadn't spoken to each other in a while. I hadn't spoken to CJ in a while. They had been in a band, a local band that was really good called Circle of 12, and he can talk a little bit about that if he wants to here in a minute. And they were doing really good together, him and CJ Jones, our drummer. And he had moved out to Florida and kind of got homesick and got tired of not playing in a band, and he just decided, you know, I haven't talked to Chaz in a while, and he was recording some music by himself, and he called me up and said, hey, man, you feel like throwing down some vocals on some stuff I'm recording? I'm like, sure, man, yeah, absolutely. You know, he sent me the first song, which turned out to be Suffocate. I was blown away. I was blown away not only by the writing and the playing, but the production, everything about it. And I was like, wow. I just told my wife immediately when I heard it, I'd love to have a band like that, you know, not just a recording. And so I went in the studio in Ohio and recorded the vocals for him, sent them back to him, and he did the rest. He did all the production work and made it all happen. And then just basically over time, we're talking on the phone for a couple of years there and keeping it real quiet. You know, meanwhile, I'm going about my business with my other projects, and he's doing his own thing. And finally, we just decided, man, we got to try this. We got to see where this can go. He decided to move back out here to Ohio, and next thing you know, we're putting out the demo, and CJ Jones became our drummer. Randy Walton, a longtime bio bassist, became our bass player. It was pretty much, the chemistry was immediate. There was never a period where we had to work for a while to find each other or build a chemistry. I mean, it was right away how quick everything just fell into place. It's kind of unexplainable. It's just one of those things that'll just never happen again, you know? Everything just fell into place so quickly.
You know, Chaz, you're known as a hybrid vocalist, and for the listeners that may be fans of Letters to the Blind or upcoming fans, exactly is a hybrid vocalist? And also, Blaine, am I to understand that you're a hybrid guitarist as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chaz, how about you answer that and let Blaine pick up the other half?
Okay. Basically, you know, through the years, you've had all these different styles of metal, and rock. Singers who, you got singers who like do power metal, for example. Bands like Queensryche, you know, Jacob's Dream or whatever, and Iron Maiden, Eister, where the vocals are all very clean. And then you have these thrash bands, you have Slayer, and I mean, you know, modern bands nowadays. But a hybrid vocalist is a person that can blend those things together. A person who can do both equally well, equally as well as the other, if that makes sense. Where a lot of times you see, and it's no cut down on anybody else, but a lot of times you see vocalists who are good at one or the other and they struggle trying to cross over. So a hybrid vocalist is a person who does not have trouble crossing over, and they can blend from style to style very seamlessly. And I'll let Blaine take over on the guitar.
And I guess the best way to describe it is hybrid guitar playing would be, it's kind of, I take all of my influences and they really show and they really come out of me. Like, instead of just being, while the music is pretty much labeled progressive, there's certain aspects of certain riffs that I write that are from two totally different ends of the spectrum. I mean, I'll write a thrashy Slayer style riff and then turn around a few seconds later and it's a death metal riff. And the next one will be a beautiful rock chorus, or the next thing will be technical math metal like Meshuggah. I love bouncing through all the things that have influenced me over the years. Basically, I guess that's the best way I can describe it for you.
Very cool. You know, because of course, the tracks that we're going to play on this interview here, you know, I've listened to all the tracks, and you know, there's one thing that I've noticed, Blaine, about your guitar playing that I really enjoy is that. And the best way I'm going to put it is that if you turn on the radio or, you know, and you got your eyes closed, and you hear, for example, again, don't cut down on anybody, Eddie Van Halen. If you hear Eddie Van Halen, you just know it's Eddie Van Halen. His style is, I guess I would say, repetitious, if you will. But with your guitar playing, you're so versatile. You go, you know, you're swinging in so many different genres of music that... That's what gives you just an amazing talent, man. And I think that's just awesome. For real, man.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jim. And that's kind of something I really strive for. You know, I don't want to be just that typical guitar player where you listen to one song from the album and you go buy it, and then next thing you know, the rest of the album is the same as the song you heard.
Right.
You know, I love diversity. I think it's a word I really live by.
Okay.
And on that note, you'll never hear the same Letter song twice. Unless you hit the skip back button, because really, I mean, no two of our songs sound alike. I mean, it's really, even the songs that we're writing now that are not on the EP, we just keep that raising that bar. We just keep raising that bar as a band, all four of us. I mean, we just, you know, keep doing what we're doing, and it's just coming together so well, like it was meant to be. I mean, I don't want to be cliche, but that's really what it seems like, you know.
I agree.
So, I mean, you know, chemistry obviously is important when it comes to a band. I mean, with the music industry, there's a lot of bands, and Chaz, I'm sure you can relate to what I'm going to say here, is that you always will find a member of a band, whether they're indie or mainstream, that we're going to call them the leader, if you will. And it kind of gets, the music kind of gets driven towards one person's liking, where the chemistry of Letters to the Blind, it's a universal, it's a team. You guys are all, you know, you're all on the same team. You're all on the same page. You understand each other.
The chemistry is unreal. I mean, I've never had, honestly, nothing against previous bands that I've been in, but I've never had the chemistry this complete before. I mean, Blaine writes the majority of the riffs, pretty much all the riffs, but everyone else will chime in and say, hey, I like this or I like that. They'll throw in their little bits and pieces, but everybody absolutely loves what each one of us are doing. I mean, there's absolutely no complaints about anything or anyone in the band, all the way across the board, and it's just fantastic. There's no weak link in this band. We got fantastic drumming, you know, fantastic bass playing, all the way across the board. I mean, there's nobody that's struggling to keep up or anything. It's just wonderful, you know.
Well, that's great, man. I mean, you know, I see big things in the future, that's for sure. Let me ask you guys this. How did the name Letters to the Blind, how did that form? Who came up with the name and why?
Well, I originally had the name as an idea for a while as a possible album title. You know, I actually brought the name up to a couple of bands I was in the past, and it kind of got skipped over, which I now believe was for a reason. And when Blaine and I first started this project recording, we didn't know what we were going to call it. We really wanted it to be epic, and we wanted it to have a lot of meaning. And I said, well, I don't know what we're going to call it, Blaine, but I got an album title possibility that I think would be really cool. And I said, Letters to the Blind. And he goes, wait a minute, I like that as the name of the band. You know, it just shows where it takes more than one, you know, to complete the circle, so to speak. And I just think, I don't want to get cliche again, but it's like four of us make that perfect circle, you know what I mean? We need each other, you know, to make it exactly what it is. But anyways, that's how that we actually came up with the name. As far as what it means, it's pretty deep. I could go on and on about that. But basically, the short version is, basically the messages in our songs are like letters to the people who can't see the truth. That's basically what it is. You know, people, it's a warning to those who might eventually maybe open their ears to hear the truth. And the song Letters to the Blind, which we'll hear later, there's actually lines in the songs that say that, you know, talk about whispering the truth. And it's a metaphor for maybe someone who might open their mind and say, wow, you know, I never thought of it like that. You know, that's pretty much what it means.
Okay. On your self-titled EP, you have a song on there called, of course, Letters to the Blind.
That's right. We also have a video. We also have a playthrough video for that for anyone who wants to check that out.
Okay, cool. Why don't we go ahead and let the listeners hear Letters to the Blind, crank it up.
Before we see the fate rise on curse.
And we are back with Chaz and Blaine of Letters to the Blind. Guys, great job. You know, I'm going to say probably great job after every song or awesome, because that is the best way that I can explain it. You know, you talked about being repetitive or whatever. That's just my expression. That's how I go.
Thank you. It means a lot.
Blaine, let me ask you, how would you define the word success?
How would I define that?
Yeah.
I would define success by changing someone's life. And that's the best way I can describe it, because I can remember sitting back and looking at the people that influenced me and the way that their music made me feel. I mean, their music really took me to another place, whether I was in a bad situation, a good situation. It was almost an escape, if that makes any sense. And for me, I think that's what success means. Not the money, not the fame, nothing to do with that. What matters to me the most is I would enjoy somebody coming up to me and telling me that I had made a difference in their life, such as me when I was a fan coming up to somebody else and saying the same. I think that's what's most important to me.
How about you, Jim?
I mean, he pretty much said it all. I mean, I can't really say it better than that. I feel, again, not to sound cliche again, but I feel kind of like this my calling. I have felt that for years, and starting to think now that it was all leading to this band. I think the things I did in the past were maybe just preparing me for what I was really intended to do eventually. But, yeah, I totally agree. If we play to an audience of 500 people on a night and one person leaves feeling better about their life, I feel that's successful. We won't always be aware of that, but that's what I would call success. Absolutely. That means a lot to us. If someone says, hey, you know, I listened to you guys play As Colors Fade, and you know, it really, you know, it helped me, it stopped me from thinking about suicide or something like that. I mean, you just never know. So things like that, I would absolutely agree with Blaine there.
Okay. Since you guys have formed this band and started playing live, how does it make you guys feel, man, when, you know, you've had something laid on your heart, you know, and you're up there and, you know, you're giving it your all? You know, what goes through your mind as an artist? I guess this would be an individual question, you know, for each of you, other than, you know, the up on that stage and just doing what you do. Because there's got to be, you know, there's times when people are, you know, you don't feel well and, you know, you got to play this gig and it's like, you know, I don't want to do this, but yet, you know, your artist and you've got an obligation to the fans. You know, what just keeps continue driving you?
Honestly, I think it's the pure love of music and everything to do with it. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, when you go up to a gig and you perhaps don't feel well or things like that. That's ironic, because we just played a gig not too long ago where our drummer actually had a fever and he did not want to cancel the gig. So he played the entire gig running a fever.
And physically, he has the toughest job in the band. So
yeah, I mean, he's running miles back there behind that drum kit, you know. And like I said, back when we were talking about, I guess, our definition of success, I mean, I guess it kind of comes down to that point too, where we just want to do that same thing that somebody did to us. And by that, I mean by the way their music made us feel or how they inspired us. I guess the main thing is we just want to be inspiring like those other people were inspiring to us.
You know, and I would say, in addition to everything he has said, I'll tell you what, I mean, even practice, we all kind of escape our daily lives, you know, not that we live horrible lives, you know, the daily grind, we get to escape the killing floor, so to speak. You know, we just love playing together. We just feel like this is what we were all meant to do. We feel like we were all born to do this kind of thing. Even when we don't feel well physically, within like two songs, we're feeling pretty darn good, you know, most of the time. And when the crowd gives us, I tell you what, the more the crowd gets in our face, the closer they get up to the stage, the more I feel the energy, and the more wild I might be on stage.
Yeah, I agree too. I agree too. They really get you going.
Sometimes you have to coerce them to get up, and you know, because they want to sit and watch you, because Blaine's so wild and crazy on his solos, and everybody wants to kind of watch and what he's doing. But it's kind of like, come on, guys, get up, you know, and let's swap energy back and forth. And that's basically an average live show. Letters to Blind is pretty awesome.
Okay, you know, back to the EP, the song "Creed of Honor." How about some history of that?
Well, I'll just tell you a really quick story. I was actually on my way home from Puerto Rico, and I was stopped in Chicago or Miami or somewhere, I don't remember, and I was waiting for my next flight, and I seen all these military guys dressed in military personnel. They were getting off a plane, and I seen their families, you know, crying and hugging them. It just gave me, it sent chills down my spine. It just, you know, just kind of reminded me, you know, that we really need to be grateful for the people, for the men and women who go out there, and every day, many of them are risking their lives, and some of them ultimately lose their lives. And you got some young men and women who have just been recently been married. They have a 2-3-year-old child, and they could lose their life and not get to see their child grow up. It's so much sacrifice by these people for us to continue to be free, and for us to be able to get up and go to work and do our daily things and enjoy that freedom without having to give the sacrifices that they give. And that's what Creed of Honor is about. It's really written from the point of view of a soldier in the middle of a war. And I actually knew a guy who was a Marine, and I showed him the lyrics before I even finalized them. And I asked him, I really want you to give me your honest opinion. You know, if you think I'm off here or whatever, because I'm writing from the point of view of a military personnel. And he almost came to tears when he was reading it. So that was enough for me. And so we, at that point, I said, okay, I'm not going to change a thing lyrically. You know, when I heard the music for the first time, when Blaine gave me the music, I thought, yeah, this is the one that has to be about that. So we ended up calling it Creed of Honor.
That's a really cool story, man. Let's go ahead, man, and let the listeners hear Creed of Honor with Letters to the Blind on Power Rock Podcast.
Calm before the storm, as I hold my weapon close, close again this cold dead silence, waiting for the darkened clouds to fall. They will never take my liberty at all cost. I'll defend our ground. I'll stand in the name of freedom. I will take it down. My love, my test, my world.
Awesome job.
Awesome.
Awesome job. Let's go here, man. Do you think that more and more people are becoming receptive to this particular style of music, and do you see it growing even more in the future, or what's your thoughts on that?
I do. I really do. And over the years, I mean, this kind of goes with like everything with society and how it's growing as well, because I mean, everybody wants the next iPhone, everybody wants the next Xbox, everybody wants the next new thing. And it's kind of a way I describe progressive metal too, because I mean, like the older metal and stuff that I grew up on, you know, it had simple structure. You know, you had verse, chorus, solo, chorus, end of song. You know, and I think that's something about progressive is it keeps giving people something new as it continues. You know, it just keeps feeding you on the best way I love to describe it is it takes you on a roller coaster. Ups, downs, loops, I mean, you name it.
The song Once. How about some history?
Musically, this song kind of started around this. It's a very strange story. This number I kept seeing everywhere constantly for some reason. And when I had wrote this song, I ended up writing it on February 22nd. And everywhere I looked in my clock in my life, like going to work, at home, just sitting there watching TV, I would just happen to look up the clock and I would either see 2:22 or I would see 12:22. And it's still a reoccurring thing that happens to me today that I just cannot explain. And it's actually funny that the beat pattern of that is actually I used a 2:22 beat pattern in there, which is three sequential twos. And it's kind of strange how that came about. And it's I kind of gave it a modern twist on it. I wanted some synthesizers and just kind of a... Because, you know, everybody's kind of into the EDM stuff, the dance music, the club stuff. So I kind of wanted to really mix up what we do with a touch of that. Like we were talking about earlier, just something different. Something to surprise. Something to keep you interested. And that's kind of how the music really, really began on that, around this number I still constantly see to this day.
And lyrically, when I heard it, it just came to me pretty quick. And it usually does, because Blaine's music always inspires me. I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to simply just call this Once, and the song's going to be about how life is short, and, you know, we need to take every day for granted, and I know that we need to not take every day for granted, I'm sorry, and I know you know that, Jim, and it's very, very delicate. I've lost a few people in my family in the last couple of years, in the past decade. I've lost a pretty good handful of friends and family to cancer and other things, and it's just to remind people, hey, don't get so caught up in the daily grind that, you know, you forget what's really important. And that's really all the song's about, just causing everybody, it's a universal message. It should mean something to anybody with a heart, you know. So that was the idea, just to kind of wake people up and say, hey, rattle their cage a little bit. Say, hey, you may not have tomorrow. The person standing next to you that you love so much may not have tomorrow. Don't take that person or this day for granted ever. Absolutely.
Yeah, that I live by that philosophy.
You know, you see so many people say, man, I wish I would have spent more time with that person. Or man, you know, you're at a funeral or whatever, and you got people just with regret, like you're talking about, you know. They're sorry for this or they're sorry for that, you know, and a lot of that happens because of the fact that we just take for granted that person's always going to be there. And just because you may be young, it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, we got all kinds of issues going on in the world right now, like cancer, and it could be a car accident. I lost a cousin at age 22 in a car accident. So age is no exception. So, you know, there's absolutely no excuse for any of us to take life for granted at all.
That's why we only have one chance at this life, right?
Yeah, one life to live, and one the lyric says once to live, once to die. What's the point of living if we don't even try? That's one of the lines of the song.
That's a great line. I'll tell you what, here it is, Once with Letters to the Blind on Power Rock Podcast. Turn it up. and we're back with Chaz and Blaine.
Yeah, people get caught up in the moment sometimes. They get caught up in the, everybody has a bad day, a bad month. We all do. I mean, even us, you know, we have times where we want to pull our hair out. We just want to be outside the box. You know, the box is always created by somebody who at some point came up with an idea. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, kudos to them. But I don't want to be held, and or we don't want to be held, as artists, to whatever box somebody else created in the past. You know, we want to elaborate on the things that we liked about that box, but we want to take this turn and that turn, and we want to be creative
on it.
We want to be creative in our own way and come up with what is in our souls, because each one of us has that. As an artist or as a human being, each one of us has a mind just to think of on our own without being bound by certain previous ways of thinking or whatever. We don't have to be bound by that. A lot of people choose to be, but you don't have to be. And that's what our music is about, and a lot of times what our lyrics are about.
Here's a question for you. Blaine, do you think, in your opinion, that digital downloads in today's music industry has hurt the industry or helped the industry?
To be honest, I really think it's hurt it for certain reasons, but bettered it for others. Say, for instance, even nowadays, album sales for a band, even a large one such as Slipknot or somebody along those lines, it's really not even on the table anymore. Most of the bands majorly make their money now from touring and merchandise sales. And album sales are usually recouped for the record label's output to get them out there in the first place. So, digital downloading, I would say the great part about that is it gets your music everywhere. It's so much easier now with all the different do-it-yourself websites and things to get your music out there and heard to the people. And then again, like I said, the bad side is you don't really see a lot of record sales from that. So I guess that would be my opinion on there.
Let's go back to the EP, the track Generation Sin. Chaz, how about some history, brother?
Well, when I heard the music to that one, which was actually the second song by Letters to the Blind, I just thought, wow, it was so dark and heavy, intense and almost eerie, kind of. Has this chorus that kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. So I was immediately inspired to make the lyrics match that feel. And basically, the song is about how, with each generation, in my opinion, it seems like we've kind of, I hate to say this, but we've kind of gone backwards a little bit. Morally and things like that, I think maybe this is just my personal thinking, but younger kids started having children and then their children started having children. And as you go along, we lose a little bit of something each time. That's why it's called Generation Sin. So it's like Generation X, you know, et cetera. So I came up with the idea of Generation Sin, but it's basically about how, you know, we got a lot of people out there that were not raised well or did not have good lives. So a lot of people, their parents are splitting up by the time they're, you know, 2 years old, they end up in foster care. I mean, just you name it. I think kids get into drugs, they get into, there's a lot of different underlying reasons for that. You know, even though we grow up and have choices, a lot of these kids never really get a fair chance, you know. So really, that's kind of what the song is about. It's just about some of the darkness in the world, some of these people who unfortunately grow up in these environments and have less than what they should have. That's pretty much what it's about. It's just kind of making people aware. And also it's also a little bit about people who are out there to spread lies and to propagate what I believe are lies. And that could be a lot of different things. I really like to leave my lyrics open to interpretation. What it may mean to you, it may mean something a little different to the guy behind you, and I'm okay with that. Music is made to speak to people.
Okay, well, here it is, Generation Sin with Letters to the Blind on Power Rock Podcast.
What have we become? I found humanity.
Stuff, my friends, powerful stuff, man. It speaks volumes.
You
know, we got one more song to play. I got another question I want to ask you. Where would you like to see Letters to the Blind in the next 5 years?
Well, we are actually getting ready to open for All That Remains, and we've just entered a contest similar to American Idol, not quite as big and not on television. But it's for a metal band, and we get to compete to be on the Summer Slaughter Festival.
Yeah, Summer Slaughter Tour 2015 via Sumerian Records, which is probably one of the hottest metal record labels out right now that are doing actually a lot of good things to discover a lot of, unknown artists. So it's a good opportunity for us.
We don't know where this is all going to lead yet. We certainly don't know, but to answer your question, me personally, I would like see in 5 years us with at least 3 albums out and hopefully on a pretty good record label that takes good care of us and gives us a fair deal. And hopefully by then our fans will be quite larger than they are now.
And hopefully we can tour the country. That's one thing I've always hoped to do is put out a great album and tour the country and meet those people that I looked up to, how they look up to me. I mean, either
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough business you guys are in.
Yes, it is.
It's very, the music business, secular or Christian or whatever you want to label it. It's cutthroat. It's a hard business. And, I respect guys like yourself that take your passion and your desire and put everything that you have into it to create a new sound and bring it to the people, man. It's just, that's why when I started Power Rock Podcast, it was geared around indie bands. Not that, I'm honored that I've had the opportunity and more opportunities here in the future to do mainstream artists. Been on multi-platinum albums out. I think a lot of people have forgot mainstream artists today were once indie bands. And indie bands need to be supported because the indie bands of today are going to be the mainstream bands of tomorrow.
That's right.
One more track, Suffocate. How about some history on that, brother?
This was actually the very first song he ever sent me. Yeah. And so you could officially say it was the first Letters to the Blind song ever, and it kind of set the standard for what we were going to be, you know, it kind of has it all. You know, it has the nice solo in the middle of the song. Not all the songs have solos. I really like that about Blaine, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with soloing in every song, but I just think it's awesome how he knows when to and when not to do a lot of certain things. You know, he knows when something is a little too much and when something is not enough. He just seems to have a knack to understand just the right amount to where it's not bitter. You know what I'm saying? And it's just the right amount. It's great. I don't know what it was. When I heard the song, it just came to me. I decided to make the lyrics about basically cancer and the rise of cancer. Because I tell you what, man, and I'm sure you've noticed this, 10, 15 years ago, you heard about cancer, but now it seems like everybody and their brother's getting something. There's something going on out there, I believe. And I believe that our pharmaceuticals, our doctors, or somebody in charge somewhere is aware that some of these things are causing these things to happen, and they're not doing anything about it due to the fact that they're making a lot of money. That's my opinion. I don't know everything. I could be wrong about some things, but that's my view. That's what this song is about. It's about the things that we consume, whether it be food, whether it be a product, whatever it is. It could be in our water. It could be in the air. I don't know. Something is going on that was not going on 20, 30 years ago, and it's killing a lot of people. And I mean, that's just the straightforward, most straightforward way I can put it.
Well, Chaz, I want to support exactly what you said, because I'm one of those people, as you well know. I'm a type 2 brittle diabetic with diabetic neuropathy, and I'm in full pancreas failure, man. I inject myself 9 times a day with insulin just to stay alive.
You know, like I said, I don't have all the answers. I don't know exactly who. I'm not accusing or pointing the finger at any particular area or person or a group, but something is definitely not right, and someone is aware of it. Someone who has the power to change it, do it another way, has decided not to. That's what I believe. That's what the song is about. Musically, I could let Blaine elaborate on that if he wants.
It was kind of a more diverse song, I guess you would say, when I was in the middle of writing that one. I'd kind of had it for a while, and I just kind of wanted this song that just had kind of all ends of the spectrum. You know, the beginning starts out with blast beating, you know, and string writing, kind of black metal orientish, and then, you know, the verse riff is just kind of hoppy and kind of gets you bouncing, and then the chorus is beautiful, and then it breaks down to a great solo section, and it comes into the end just banging at you, and then it leads out with a beautiful piano at the end. You know, it's just kind of takes you, like I said earlier, like on a roller coaster ride.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, here it is. Suffocate with Letters to the Blind on Power Rock Podcast.
How long will we live in this darkness? Will we ever choose not to close our eyes? We live in a cycle of blindness. We're led to a breeze until humanity dies. Slaves of our own lives. When will we learn not to suffocate ourselves? On and on we strive to find new ways to die. The latest toxin that we create, a suicide mission to dominate. Poison our minds, poison the flesh. For financial gain we will choose the pain. On and on we tread, stepping over the death. The writing's on the wall for one night ahead. Intoxicate, so we can relate. Not knowing it's ourselves, we suffocate ourselves, we suffocate. Hello! Yeah.
And we are back with Chaz Bond and Blaine Gordon. Guys, I got to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, the time that you have spent with me, talking with me, giving me your history. I want to let the listeners know that that you have a Facebook page. You also have your music up on Reverb Nation. Is that EP, is that a download? That's a downloadable disc, correct?
Yes.
You can hit Chaz or Blaine up, like I said, on the Facebook page. And, you know, guys, it really, I admire and respect you guys for, you know, what you do, what you stand for. Again, I thank you for your time talking with me, and let's just keep rocking, man.
Absolutely. Hey, we appreciate you giving us your time and, you know, taking the time out to look into us. We really appreciate that, and that means a lot. I know the fans that we already have that we've accumulated from our live shows will appreciate this kind of interview, and this is actually officially our very first interview. We're glad to give you that honor, and we're glad that you have given us that honor.
Well, thank you so much, guys. Well, there you have it, an interview with Chaz Bond and Blaine Gordon of Letters to the Blind on Power Rock Podcast. Jim Madonna here, your host. Peace.